Hopefully your Bibles are open, your devices are turned to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I want to ask a question this morning and think about it with me. What would perfect obedience to God look like for you today? What would perfect obedience to God look like for you today? Perfect honor of Him, doing all for the glory of God, different ways we see that presented in Scripture, but what would it look like? Let me ask you this. Does your mind go to activities like Bible reading and prayer, giving, serving? Do you think of things you won't do in order to perfectly obey God? Well, I think there's a place for each of those that I've mentioned. But here's the real question for this text. Do you think of knowing and expressing the love of Christ? When God showed Moses, I took a turn there. Okay, we're in Ephesians 3. But when God showed Moses a part of his glory on Mount Sinai, he declared, and you remember this, many of you, the Lord God, compassionate, listen to the words, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And it goes on to talk about his judgment. But listen to those words that have to do with us loving one another and understanding love. Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, showed this love that God displayed in his glory to Moses. Jesus showed this love to the world perfectly. Think of his compassion for the people who were like sheep without a shepherd. Think of his welcome of children. Think of his healing of the sick. Of course, think of his sacrificial death upon the cross. And here Paul prays in verse 19 that believers be filled up to all the fullness of God. And essential to this is to know the love of Christ. So to honor God this day, to please God, to glorify God, we must be growing in Christian love. That's how I'll summarize what we've said, Christian love. So what do we learn from this passage? Number one, you see it on the outline. Growth in Christian love comes from God through prayer. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." For this reason, as I said, that goes back to chapter 2. Paul had diverted his thought in the last passage, the beginning of chapter 3, but he goes back to, "I'm burdened that you will be that beautiful building," verses 19 through 22 of chapter 2, "that you'll be pleasing to God on the inside and a worthy witness on the outside." If you and I could comprehend this reason, as Paul puts it, for this reason, if we could comprehend it, if it would sink into our hearts what he is saying at the end of chapter 2 and understand his burdens, hey, we would be with him. We would be bowing our knees before the Father. Notice that when we pray, we come to our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." The significance of this, I think, is explained, I know it is explained by Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, he said, "If you," speaking particularly to dads, "if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" So when we come to God with our burdens, we come to a Father who knows how to give what is good and who wants to give what is good. So Jesus also teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 7 of chapter 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Not you'll wait in line, not, well, God will look at that and decide. No, ask if it is something within his will, it will be given to you. That's the Father we have. Paul says, I bow my knees before him. Posture in prayer, bow my knees. It's not the main thing in prayer, but it is not a matter of indifference either. Our posture will likely conform to the burden of our heart and our sense of humility before God. And so you can sit and bow your head. You can bow the knee. You can walk. But in some way, posture is connected to our heart's burden. We see that so often in Scripture. And he bows before the Father. Notice verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. To name something means you have authority over it. Adam was given the authority to name the animals because God gave man authority over animals. Parents name their children because they have authority over them. Well, whom does God name? Whom does he have authority over? Every family in heaven and on earth. Human, angelic, whether weak or powerful, so forth. The point, in Christ, we are invited to come to God in prayer, who is the highest authority of all. Our Father in heaven has absolute authority to answer our prayers. So Paul comes to this God and Father with his heartfelt burden that has put him on his knees, and he prays, verse 16, that he would grant you, in context, the believers at Ephesus, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. So, where, the question I need to ask, you need to ask from this passage, where does power to live the Christian life come from? And the answer, class, from God, that he would grant you. Do you see that in verse 16? That he would grant you. Paul is not asking God to tap some unused potential within you. He is asking God to give the believer something the believer doesn't have within himself. Power to live the Christian life, exalting Christ. You have fallen down in that, enough at that, and I have too, to know that we need God's help. Oh, that's a poor way to say it. We need him completely in order to live in a way that honors and exalts Christ. Notice the nature of the granting, according to the riches of his glory. So not according to Paul's worthiness, the one praying, or the worthiness of those he's praying for. No, God, do it according to how great you are, that the answer to the prayer might show how great you are. I think that's the thought. Indeed, God is great, and what he is, the creator and authority over all, and who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity, do it according to that, according to the riches of his glory. So Paul asks God to answer this prayer according to his greatness as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And by the way, each are mentioned, invoked by Paul in this prayer. You'll see that as we go through it. And he's calling on God, according to the riches of his glory, that we may be, verse 19, filled up to the fullness of God. Do you see the connection? The riches of his glory, that's how I want you to hear the prayer and answer the prayer, so that we would be filled up to the fullness of God and thus bring glory to him. So growth in Christian love, the first thing I'm saying in summary is it comes from God through prayer. Secondly, growth in Christian love is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So this power that we need from God, or else we don't have it, comes through the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And notice where the power is applied. Verse 16, strengthened with power through his Spirit, which we are indwelt by since conversion, in the inner man. This power is applied to the inner man. So the question, Bible students, we ask, what is the inner man? And the Bible, I would say, refers to it as the mind, the heart, different places, but it's the real you on the inside. It's not what you look like, it's what you are like. It's not the part of you that others can see, it's the person God sees. The power comes to the seat of your desires, the seat of your thoughts, the seat of your emotions, the very place where battles against temptations are fought, the very place where ambition is born. Here, where you really need it, where we rise or fall in following Christ, where we rise and fall in showing love, the power comes to make us strong, the inner man. Thirdly, growth in Christian love comes from abiding in Christ. There's a sense in which he's saying the same thing in verse 17. Verse 17 tells us that what this power accomplishes, so that, strengthened with power through God's the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's not that his presence is ever absent. In a Christian life, when we were saved, we were, verse 17 goes on to say, rooted and grounded in his love. But the power Paul is praying for allows the believer to experience Christ's abiding presence. And notice how we experience Christ's presence through faith. Faith to believe. Faith to count as true what we hear of Jesus, learn of Jesus in the Word of God. And when we do count it as true, we experience his abiding presence. And the result is verses 18 and 19. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So the answer to Paul's prayer is the ability to comprehend the love of Christ. And I love the picture the language gives in verse 18. And the point is this: there's much more to Christ's love than you presently know. Let me say that again, because you need to hear that, and I need to hear it. You might think of yourself as a very loving person, and in many ways, we are. There is much more to the love of Christ. There is much more to Christ's love than you presently know. Verse 18 tells us that. There is, think about it with me, there's his love for the lost, his compassion for those who were like sheep without a shepherd. Can you and I grow in our love for the lost? I would answer yes. There is his love to his disciples that he expressed in such a precious way at the Last Supper by washing their feet. Can you and I grow in that? There is his love for children, which he demonstrated by welcoming them to him. We can grow in that. His love for the sick and those who were concerned for them. That's something that's easy to recognize and do, but we can grow in that as well, in how we minister to the sick and those who are ministering to the sick, ministering to them as well. Think of his love for widows. Think of his love for God the Father. Can we grow in that? Think of his love for his mother from the cross. So good to have my mother here this morning. That's a great privilege. She surprised us today. Yeah, that's good. Christ's love revealed in the Scriptures. Imagine his love revealed in the Scriptures as, and I've used this illustration before, but I like it. I'm using it again. As a cavern full of nature's treasures. And as you come inside, just picture yourself with a flashlight and you come inside that opening and you look around, it is bigger than you thought. There's a breadth to the cavern that you had no idea. And you start to see some of the beautiful treasures. And you come back the next day. And the next day your light shines on a new passage and you realize there's a length to this cavern that I never knew of. And you find more treasures exploring it. And in exploring its length, your light falls on a passage overhead. And you realize there's a height to this cavern that I knew not of. Then one day you come upon a crevice. You shine your light down into it and you don't see a bottom. There's a depth to the cavern that you knew not of. Now, if caverns scare you, then that's not a good imagery for you. But just understand breadth, length, height, and depth. The more you explore, the more you discover of the cavern that you didn't know before. With every new turn, you see beautiful treasures. The point is, there's more to Christ's love than you presently know. Maybe it's the sacrificial nature of Christ's love, its encouraging nature. Maybe it's the expression of his love toward enemies, toward those who have hurt you personally. Maybe it's the expression of love to the despised and the outcast. Notice in verse 19, Christ's love, see the phrase, surpasses knowledge. Meaning you and I cannot know it except by God's power, giving us ability to understand it. And I would tie that to the Scriptures, but we're never going to exhaust what we learn. I just thought, you know, if you don't like the cavern illustration, think of the universe. There's so much there that we don't know. Height, depth, breadth, length. But if you're scared of heights, that's not a good one either. We'll figure out one. Notice something else. The verse also seems to be saying that the best way to learn this love is in the community of saints. Look at verse 18 with me. So that you may be able to comprehend, notice what it says, with all the saints. In the context of community, the lessons of love can be both observed and practiced. Think of 1 Corinthians 13 with that in mind, that you're in the life of the church. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Well, what is the outcome in my life? In your life, if we truly comprehend the love of Christ, verse 19 tells us that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. The phrase filled up indicates every aspect of Christ's love showing up in every aspect of my life. So as people saw the glory of God in the incarnate Christ, they can see in me and in you a reflection of that glory as we become Christ-like by the power of God. The verse is not saying we become God, but it is saying that we become godly. To know this power, Paul is praying for us to know Christ's love, and the result of knowing Christ's love is godliness in our thoughts, in our attitudes, and in our actions. Number four, the growth potential of Christian love is limitless. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Can we exhaust God's power with our request? Not the slightest bit. Can we come to a point at which we can progress no further as Christians? No, the power that works within us has more work to do. Have you had a limited view of what God can do for your Christian life through prayer? Read verse 20. Look at it. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Sometimes you read that verse and you're using it to talk about some great thing you're praying for. Paul is talking about the love of Christ formed in you. Don't have a limited view of what that can look like. Number five, the goal of Christian love is God's glory. That's where we're always going to land as believers. God is glorifying himself through a people that he has called to himself. The goal of Christian love is God's glory. Verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So as in Christ the head, so in his body, the church, the aim is God's glory. This prayer results in God's glory. In other words, the answer to the prayer results in God's glory. That is, the manifesting, the displaying of God's greatness and God's goodness. That's what we mean by God's glory. And his compassion and so forth that he revealed to Moses and that Christ lived. We grow in that through an answer to this prayer. We show the greatness and the goodness of God. Now notice the continuity of this aim. It's captured in the phrase, to all generations. Did you notice that in verse 21? Look at it again. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So mothers and fathers, here's a prayer for your sons and daughters. Pray it well for them. Pray it over and over for them, that they would be a part of a generation showing the glory of God by having learned of and living the love of Jesus Christ. Let me give you three implications. Number one, prayer is essential to Christian growth. Prayer is essential to Christian growth. Knowledge is important and essential as well. But just notice here, prayer is essential to Christian growth. Sanctification is a work that is beyond our strength. We can know, but never live it out. We need help with that. So prayer, or we also mentioned abiding in Christ, essential to Christian growth. I saw a sign on a pastor's door one time that said, no prayer, no power. You might have heard this before. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Now, I don't think we should see that as a formula. I think we should see that as an admission of our need to pray. That's how I took it. That what we have in this passage is a prayer for the power that we need to exalt Christ in our lives. And we should leave this passage today understanding that prayer is essential to Christian life, Christian growth. Number two, Christians should be growing in love. Christians should be growing in love. And that means growing out of unloving things, okay? We should grow in this. If we're growing in the knowledge of God and Jesus and yielding to the Spirit, we will be more loving. We'll be more caring. We'll be more generous. We'll be more forgiving. We'll be more patient with one another. And this has been a good year to test that, hasn't it? Come on. We've had different thoughts, different attitudes, different understandings throughout this year. And by and large, North Hartford Baptist, you've done well. We've had to grow in patience with one another. More faithful. That's a part of growing in love. Faith, loving God. More humble. More humble. Many other things could be said there, but Christians should be growing in love. Third implication, and it goes back to chapter 1, we talked about it then. God will answer this prayer. God will answer this prayer. This is a divinely inspired prayer. This we know is the will of God. It's a prayer that pleases God, and when you pray it for yourself, God will do a work in you. And when you pray it for others and for your family who are believers, God will work in them. Don't leave this Sunday convinced of these things and never turn back to this page or scroll to this page in your Bible. Use it. Use it. Bow your knees or whatever posture fits you before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and pray that he would grant you, grant us, according to the riches of his mercy, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Let's pray together. Father, I would ask that you would revive hearts in these truths, in this understanding of who you want us to be in our life on earth, what you want us to show of your glory, what your plan is for the church as it comes out here. Father, I pray that you would revive in us an understanding of what we can be in Christ by your power. Father, help those who have been discouraged by sinfulness in their life, by unloving behavior. Help them to know that you have the power to produce the love of Christ in their lives if they are saved. Oh, Father, for those who are not saved, I pray that the text today would point that out to them. And the mention of Christ sacrificially loving on the cross would convict their heart of sin and judgment to come. I pray, Father, that you would draw souls to Jesus, that they might be on that path of bringing you glory, of loving the way Christ loved upon the cross. That they would see the righteousness, as we've spoken of love, and realize they fall short of it. That you'd help them to understand sin must be punished. And then, Father, wherever there is in our fellowship or in our relationship with other believers or even anyone else where we are struggling to be loving, I pray that your power, your Spirit, the ministry of Jesus in our hearts, abiding in him, I pray that it would be applied in that situation or with that person, and that you would grow us at that point. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all of the ways that we are growing and have demonstrated such. But Lord, we are not satisfied. And so we lay ourselves before you and want to see the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of Christ's love. We want to see that grow here. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.